I am so excited about being able to offer this presentation, and that Jason Martin, who is with us, was willing to do this because I have attended presentations that Jason's done at conferences, and they've been really worthwhile. And I always learn a good many things. And so he works for the Alabama Department of Rehabilitation Services doing assistive technology for the employees, and then I think works with clients some too. But Jason, I'll let you maybe say a little bit more. But I sent out the documents that Jason sent, so yeah, glad to have you with us.
Thank you, Tabitha. And so, like Tabitha said, a little bit of background on me because it totally helps just to get where I'm coming from and maybe a little bit of my sense of humor. You can tell I'm a little more laid back. And for those of you who can't see my video, I told Tabitha, some of you came on a little late, that I am currently doing a Halloween costume of Stranger Things. And so I've got about a foot long handlebar mustache going on right now. And it totally sets me back in the 70s. So I'm glad we're only recording audio. So just a bit about me before we start. I don't want to be too long on this, but Tabitha's right. I am the assistive technology specialist for the blind for the entire state of Alabama for the Department of Rehabilitation Services. That sounds really cool, but really there's one of me for the entire agency. I help employees basically any aspect of accessibility in terms of a rehab counselor or a vision rehab therapist or an assistant or any position in our agency. I'm your guy. I'm the guy they call to figure that out. I have been a teacher. I'm a trained teacher. I have a master's degree in special education, and my undergrad was in radio broadcasting, totally unrelated field. I'm a graduate of a school for the blind. My dad is totally blind. My mother was visually impaired. My grandmother was visually impaired. My grandfather was visually impaired. They met at the school for the blind in the 1940s. My parents met there in the 80s. I have a relative who I don't claim that might be one of your national board members of ACB. Don't claim him, but that's okay. So what I'm saying is blindness really is second nature to me. I'm visually impaired in one eye, and I'm, for all intents and purposes, I'm blind in the other eye. And my son has congenital cataracts, which is what I had. So he's visually impaired as well. So I have a sense of humor, I guess you could say, when it comes to visual impairment and blindness. If I say something that's off the cuff, I'm not saying it to offend you. I'm saying it from a place of love. So I guess all of that being said, that's just a little bit about me. One of the first positions that I ever did as a professional was I began my professional career working, and when I mean professional, I mean teaching individuals with disabilities. But I began that career working with deafblind individuals. So my first job was teaching assistive technology to individuals who are deafblind. And that was totally a bit of a shocker. It was something that I don't think I was ready for at the time, but I learned a lot. And really, it was just a great experience. So, bit about me. And my poodle is deciding to have puppy dreams right now. So if you're hearing that, I'm sorry. So Google Classroom, and I definitely will want us to have an open discussion because I want to hear, A, I want to hear your frustrations, your complaints, your issues. I might have a quick suggestion to kind of alleviate some of that, to be able to talk about, well, this is what you can do, this is how you can do it. There are a couple of things to keep in mind with Google Classroom and just Google in general. It's a whole bevy of applications, and I'm going to pull up the document that I sent out to you guys. So G Suite, and that's what I like to refer to it a little bit before I begin talking about G Suite. So in 2016, I was selected with the American Foundation for the Blind. You got to get this right. The American Foundation for the Blind and Google had a training in Dallas, Texas, where they brought out certain assistive technology people. I applied, they liked me, and sent me a plane ticket and took me out there. And so I got straight Google training on Google products, on devices from actual Googlers. And really, my goal in this presentation is to see how many times I can say the word Google. Anyway, so I got brought out there and I was trained by these guys. And at that point in time, and again, it was 2016, Google had a pretty bad rap. And I know all of you guys are muted right now, but I'm like, I can imagine that you might still feel like they have a bad rap. Comparatively, Apple had been really leading the way in accessibility in terms of VoiceOver, in terms of VoiceOver for the Mac, the screen reader inclusion there. And really, they started to up their game and realized that Google realized that, hey, we might not have been hitting the mark with some of the things that we were doing. So at that time, they had redesigned TalkBack, which is the screen reader for Android phones. It's considerably better. I like it in a lot of ways. I like the phone system comparatively to an iPhone. They're different. I'm not saying go out and buy an Android phone, but it is now a feasible option for someone who's low vision or visually impaired or blind to go and adopt. Opinions are varied. Everybody's got one. I'm of the mindset that because I'm an AT instructor, I like to learn them all. It's like Pokemon. You got to catch them all. But it's one of those things that you've got to be aware of that it exists. They're cheaper than iPhones, but it's just a viable option out there for people who are looking for something. And it's good to hear one of the big tech companies, and let's face it, Google's one of the largest tech companies in the world, to fess up and go, yeah, we realize we didn't get it. We've got visually impaired and blind people working for us now that are giving direct input, nothing about us without us, right? And giving their two cents on product design, on how to do it, and instruction. So all this being said, I got a crash course from Googlers about the Google G Suite environment. They taught me a lot of things, and Google was way ahead of its time before Microsoft and some of the things that we had been using about collaboration, web elements. And when I say web elements, I know a lot of people groan. They go, oh, it doesn't work the same way with assistive technology. And you would be right for that. So there's a lot of things that come into play or came into play with Google, and they primarily trained on Chromebooks. A lot of your students probably use Chromebooks. And here in a second, I just want us to mute to kind of go back and forth and just ask some of these questions. What are you guys using in the classroom? Are you using Windows computers? Are you using Mac? Are they using Chromebooks? What are you as instructors using? I guess that's a good time to ask you guys. You can unmute, and then we'll kind of start a back and forth on this, and I'll lead the way.
This is Becca Ilniski. I work at the Overbrook School for the Blind, and a lot of our students use Windows computers with JAWS.
With JAWS, okay.
And we use the Google Suite products.
How's that working?
It's definitely a learning process. Using Google Classroom right now, I'm learning that slowly but surely. And still trying to figure that out. And the same with like the Google Docs and Google Sheets, you know, especially with virtual learning and the fact that my school, we've been using all the Google products for the past, like, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 years. And sure. I've been like digging my heels kind of, but right. I'm getting there.
Yeah. And that makes total sense. To kind of add to that, all right, so JAWS is awesome. I'm a JAWS believer. There's a lot of people that would fight me and go NVDA or fight me and say VoiceOver, or very few minorities would fight me and say ChromeVox, which is a screen reader that's built into a Chromebook. But I'm a huge JAWS supporter. I like it. It's an easy program to learn, hard to master, but it's really, really good at what it does. That being said, the Chrome environment, the easiest screen reader to work through the Chrome environment is the screen reader built into a Chrome laptop. I mean, and that's ChromeVox. It works similar. I'm not saying that everybody switches to ChromeVox, nothing like that. But if you ever got the chance to play around with it and to learn it, it really does, for a student just coming in, a cheap laptop, it works really, really well. There are some, you know, maybe some cons to using that screen reader. For a while, Braille support wasn't what it should be. Now it's gotten a lot better. But And it might not be the most versatile thing to do higher end applications, but in terms of G Suite, Chromebox works pretty good. For some of you others, are you using JAWS primarily?
Yes.
Yes. JAWS. Maybe this is a better question. Is anybody using anything different?
Jason, I sometimes will use Mac with VoiceOver or NVDA and or JAWS. So I kind of mess with all three.
Yes.
But I don't have to teach with it. So
that's what I call you, Tabitha. You're a connoisseur. And I mean, honestly, and Tabitha, you might be able to chime in just a little bit on this. If you learn one, the other two generally, and like VoiceOver's got some weird, funky commands, and you know, you get the idea of how one screen reader works, it's easier to learn another. It's like programming in that sense.
I would say that's true. Donna's an assistive tech. She was assistive tech teacher and specialist in West Virginia. She just retired. I don't know if Donna, you might want to weigh in on some of the difficulties or things more specifically, but yeah, I don't think VoiceOver is always as intuitive for some Windows users, but yeah, anyway. So
sure.
Jason, Donna, I'm Carla Hayes, and I come from this from a different sort of orientation. I am a teacher of foreign languages, and I teach privately and also at a Christian school. I have my own business, and then I teach part-time at a Christian school. And with all the coronavirus and the remote learning, they are pressuring us teachers big time about learning to use Google Classroom.
Sure.
And I have really tried, and I just am not getting a handle on it. And the other thing is, I teach homeschool classes, and I've been doing it on Zoom. I don't know if that's the best way to do it. You know, I go on Zoom, and then I just email the attachments and things, and I've become a real Zoom queen. But I don't know if there's, you know, if there's a way that, and what I would like to do is with the languages, what they've been doing is it's more of a data management thing with Google, you know, with the Google Suite. And so they're doing very limited. It's more asynchronous than synchronous. But I'm a firm believer that foreign languages need to be taught in a synchronous learning environment. And I don't find it, what I've learned so far, first of all, I'm not catching on to it real quick, but I don't find it as intuitive for that. And so I just wanted to know if you had any suggestions along those lines. And I'll shut up, I promise.
So you touch on quite a few really, really good points. And it could have been where I should have started, but let's move here anyway. So in terms of instruction with A, Google Classroom, and B, Zoom, you have some instructors, and my students right now, or my children, should I say, I guess they are my students too now. They've been doing virtual homeschool, caveat here. I'm not really a proponent of schooling at home. I think students need to be in class. Diverse education, learning from different people, and that one-on-one instruction or just being there for direct instruction is so valuable. Like you can't replace that really. But considering the times that we're in with COVID, you know, just for safety reasons, it makes sense to do schooling at home. So, and maybe some of this, as I talk about it, will answer some of your questions, but these have been a bit of my gripes. You've got instructors that will, and this was very much the case when we went into lockdown in March, where you had a situation where teachers didn't really know what to do. They were presented with an awkward situation, and you had worksheets and assignments, basically do it at home assignments, or do it yourself assignments being put onto Google Classroom. Google Classroom, the technical term for it is learning management software. I guess that's the best way of looking at it. It's like something that in colleges and universities are called Canvas or Blackboard, or I'm trying to think what Auburn uses. Auburn uses Canvas, right, Tabitha?
Yes, we use Canvas. D2L is another one. There's Schoology.
Yeah, Schoology, yep.
And Moodle.
Oh, and yeah, Moodle. I forgot about that.
Yeah, Moodle's been around forever.
Oh, I hate it.
Oh, so, and I still have some people, one of there's a group of individuals who still swear by Moodle, and it's like, come on, guys, let's move on a little bit. But they've created all this instruction and they don't want to recreate it in something else. So, okay. So, but in answer to that, the Schoologies, the Moodle, the Google Classroom, it's all the same type of learning environment where it's basically a way to give assignments and get grades. As far as teaching and seeing the teacher, you are so right to be using Zoom 100%. I'd rather my children have an instructor, a live instructor, somebody they're working with, just maybe not faced, you know, next to each other in proximity. But if they're working with them, that makes more sense than just you go online, you log in, you do assignments, and you get the grade. That's not teaching, in my opinion. That's independent study, if you will. So what you're doing right now, you should be working in tandem. The ideal teacher would do this in tandem, where you are having conferencing with your students, you're having lectures, you're having interaction. A huge thing that I'm not seeing in virtual environments, we need peer interaction. We need students talking to students, not just to the instructor. That doesn't happen. And with foreign language, that's a huge, I took French, and don't ask me to repeat any of it. I took German in college. I'm still terrible at both. But part of that learning and language acquisition was getting there with other students and communicating in the language. So, I mean, it's really just a balancing act, how you can, if you're working on dialogue exercises, that's a Zoom. If they're working on standardized assignments that would have to be written, if it's an essay, or if it's just something out of the textbook, that would be more Google Classroom. So it's really whatever work that you were doing before, you know, assignments, essentially. Assignments that don't require face-to-face interaction. Does that make sense, or am I off the mark there?
That makes a lot of sense, and I'm trying to convince my principal of that to let me do the classes on Zoom, and they're just stuck in this Google Classroom thing. And I've been doing classes for homeschoolers for years, and I do them live usually, but I've moved my programs online, and I send them the assignments. I just email them the assignments, and then we go through them, we correct them, we do the dialogues and everything online. But then we run into these problems with asynchronous learning, or with duplexing, and so you can't sing songs together. So I'll send them audio files and everything. But it's been some imagination and collaboration. But what I would like to do is to learn how to best deal with this Google Classroom requirement tonight, and you know, how, what I can and cannot do with it. I've been trying to do it with the Braille Note Touch, which I'm still having a terrible time learning. I don't find it an intuitive product in a lot of ways, but it's a powerful product, but it's very complex. You know what I'm saying?
So primarily, what are you interacting with Google with other than the Braille Note Touch?
I tried it with the computer and I couldn't really, I've tried it. I haven't succeeded at all. I've tried a lot of things and I've gone to the accessibility links and sure. I'm just swimming. Treading water,
sure,
not swimming.
And a screen reader on your computer, are you using one or what are you using if you are?
I'm using JAWS.
Okay.
I'm totally blind. And that's another thing. I'm a window eyes person. And I came kicking and screaming to JAWS. And I really wish I could have window eyes back because it was so much better for me in foreign languages and Braille displays and things.
Sure.
But so that's where I am. And I don't want to monopolize the call, but I just wanted to show you where I'm coming from.
No, that makes sense. So
throw in a possible option.
Sure.
Because I'm in a similar situation. I am teaching Braille online at university level, and we are required to use Google Meet and not Zoom.
Okay.
Because we're one of those Google universities, however that works. And so I can do most of those things, the dialogue and stuff in the Google Meet. It basically have the same setting for audio and video that Zoom has. And then you have a window that says present, which is where I got in trouble because as soon as I tried to load up a couple of apps online to show them some procedures, I threw myself off of the meeting. So that I don't know if Google Meet and Google Classroom would do better in tandem than maybe Zoom and or if it makes any difference at all.
Generally, now, and I'm just being frank with you, Zoom has really done a great job on accessibility.
They really have. I agree with you.
They have. I don't know because one weird thing, and Tabitha and I have discussed this because early on in the pandemic, I wanted to straight up, I knew this was going to be a problem. And my agency being a government agency is like, you can't use Google anything on any of our systems. So I had to wait to get an evaluation computer that was completely separate to do any testing. And during the pandemic, that took a minute. So a Google Meets, I haven't tested for accessibility reasons, but maybe some of the tips I can give you guys tonight, it might help. And here's what I'm going to say again, like as we get into the meat of the matter, because I am hearing this, some similar things from all of you. And that is, bless you, a good Southern phrase. I know you all are from different parts of America, but just bless you because it's don't get, okay, there's a golden rule of computers. Can anybody tell me what the golden rule of computers are? Anybody?
Garbage in, garbage out.
That's close. It's close. Computers are stupid. We tell them what to do. And it's one of those lines when you're getting frustrated with all of this. No, you're smarter than that computer 100%. And if you're struggling with it, and it's clear, a lot of you are struggling with the same things. So I started it with JAWS from going from a Chromebox environment, which worked really well. JAWS doesn't work really well right out of the box. So there are a few tips that I can give you that will make it work just a little bit easier. In terms of the Braille Note Touch, I do want to touch on that topic before I get into what we can do to start looking at this better and start becoming more comfortable with it. So the Braille Note Touch, unfortunately, I was under the assumption, and like I said, as an AT professional, that the Braille Note Touch is awesome. It works with Google everything well, and it's great. That is simply not true. That is a marketing tool that they've used with the Braille Note Touch. They say it runs Android. It does run a version of Android, but it does not work well with Google products at all. It runs a strange version of Google products. And so I was very, very surprised. I was going to order one because I was like, wow, it's a Braille device that inherently works in the Google environment. That is false. And it took me listening to a vendor to hear some of this information that it's not as inherent. It's not like using a Chromebook or it's not like using even a Windows computer to interact with G Suite. You can do some things with it, but it is not ideal for that. And I was very shocked to kind of hear that and feel that way. But that's just kind of the honest truth about it, that it's not your ideal Google device. And that's probably why you're getting a lot of frustration with that device as well, because I was very much misled on the capabilities of that device. So with JAWS, okay, let me move to my documentation, and I'll go through some of this and tell you what I did here. So Google has, and before I even begin through this, I'm sure you all already know there's a lot to learn, even now. And I'll say this, some of you need videos for Classroom. I've included videos from awesome folks like Vespero, because I could give you something, but what Vespero does, I would feel more comfortable saying, hey, the people that make JAWS have given you this tutorial on accessing Google Docs, because I knew we would not be able to cover all of that today. You can do that at your leisure. A lot of the stuff I did get, like JAWS does a video for APH, or APH does one on using Google Docs with JAWS. I've included this in the document. In the document that I sent to Tabitha, there's two. One is Google Classroom screen reading training. That is my collection of resources that I have for this whole G Suite environment regarding JAWS. The other document that I have sent you is the same document that Google gave to me in 2016, and I modified it to be a Word document. And basically what you can do, if you ever get your hands on a Chromebook, it's your guide to using Chromevox or anything, to using a Chromebook and the screen reader involved in a Chromebook with doing some of these same activities. It also, what I do like about that manual as well, is there are exercises that are Chromebox related, but you could take the same exercises and chunk it out for yourself. For instance, I need to make a Google Doc. And I know this sounds simple. Some of you may have mastered that. Some of you may not. But I need to make a Google Doc. You could reference that document and see what they say to do with Chromebox. And it's going to help you with JAWS. That's just a good reference. It's just more material probably than you need, but it's there at your leisure. It was created in 2016, and that may sound like, oh my goodness, you know, we're in almost in 2021, Jason, you know, like that's crazy. But some of the same activities and same things are essentially the same motions here. So not much has changed in that regard. It's just a great alternative if you do have a student maybe that's using a Chromebook or anything of that nature. But what I've given you today in the Google Classroom screen reading resources, it's a list. There's headings in this list. You can navigate via headings. So I go through the subject of Gmail because when Tabitha and I discussed it, she was heavy on Google Classroom. But you can't be an effective classroom user if you don't understand the entire suite. You may not use Gmail. Probably, I'm sure a number of you use Outlook. It's an awesome program. It's very accessible. Works well with JAWS.
You can make get your Gmail come into your Outlook so you don't have to deal with Gmail.
Absolutely correct. And Outlook is far more accessible.
Jason, I did have a question I was going to ask that someone asked me if I would pose to you. At her school, they have you know, a bunch of people using the same computer. And so they need to be able to use the web version of Gmail, but the students get stuck in the edit fields and can't get out.
Aha. Okay. So, and students are using screen readers.
Right. JAWS.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah. I have that same issue.
So here's a couple of different things. And in these, so I'm glad I did include Gmail then. The first half of this document, and remind me, Tabitha, if I get around and don't answer that question, but I think I will. The first half of this document is referencing Google's own information that they've provided. Google has, and I can't think of Roger's last name. Roger's a great he's blind, programmer that works for the, I think he's Docs or he's Chrome, because they have different departments that they work in. But Roger's a great blind guy who works for Google, essentially, and he does a number of tutorial videos that are linked in some of these sites. They do feel a bit dated, and they really do need to update them. But I've seen Roger at work. He knows what he's doing, and he's easy to follow. In terms of Google, are they turning on? So in every Google application, I say every, in Docs, in Drive, and in Gmail, and possibly Sheets. And some of these may not have it, but the majority of them, I feel pretty certain, do. Are you turning on screen reader mode? Is anyone aware of what screen reader mode is? I know you might know what it does.
Yes.
Okay. So that's been an issue with some people. Here's the second thing that I found that has worked extremely well. Are you turning your virtual cursor off?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. I didn't expect that answer. Who said that? Because I was looking
at Kate, and I wasn't here. Kate Crohey and I was a little late.
Hey, Kate.
Hi. I did want to ask you about resources because, like I'm helping a few students with Google Drive and Google Docs and all that. And I have shared documents, but I just love to have a resource. And I have one from a few years ago, just quickly how to do it. Like enable screen reader support, turn off the virtual cursor, you know. Sure. And then one of my students has an easier time finding it on his phone than he does on his computer, although we solved that because he found the document that we've been sharing for a few months the other day. And then if I could say one other quick thing, we use a combination of Google Classroom and we're all using Zoom. We have some students who are on the campus. So I have some classes where I have, when I'm at work, I have a student in person, another student in Zoom for the same class. So it's pretty interesting to say the least. But I agree with Carla. I love teaching on Zoom. We're not teaching using Google Classroom, but they like it for documentation. And I can totally understand that, but I still, yeah, I don't know. It's pretty overwhelming at times.
Did you get the resources resource list from Tabitha that I sent today?
I have not gotten around to checking my Gmail yet. So okay. I must have it, but.
So I hope I helped there with giving you like a pretty awesome list. And what I've given you. So here's one thing that I've seen with Google Classroom and G Suite in general, and it makes it tough. And you guys kind of, I've told Tabitha I've wanted to do a video series, and you see so many of these out there, like how to use something with Google, blah, 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 and JAWS. Here's our first video of part four. And you watch the first video, you're like, okay, this is great. And you go to the next one and it simply doesn't exist. Like there is no cohesive training for this, for the entire G Suite, using a screen reader or using JAWS that you could use or a student could use. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
I haven't been able to find anything that even refers to using JAWS. Where'd you find that? I just did the regular old video.
So I did some deep digging. And it's some careful Googling to find some of this stuff. But what I don't like is that I see it from maybe a tech person's perspective, and that's totally different than an educator. And even the ones that are from educators, it's different from a tech than maybe a user's perspective. I found a few that I really do like that they kind of nail that mark, and I want to highlight those when we go through this and tell you. But long story short here, there's not a really good web series on it. And that's something that I feel like needs to be made. And it's kind of like when in Rome or you know, if it needs it and there's a group of you that are struggling with this, then we need to do that. Like, I think I can. And I make no promises at time, but I understand that this is all time sensitive for you all. Like, it's... You needed to learn this yesterday, right?
Exactly.
Right.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah. And so, like, I feel the dire need that you have for this. And for me personally, it's like when the pandemic started, when you're at home and nobody knew what to do, this was the main idea. And I felt so tied because my current system, I could not use to do it. But it's good. I mean, for me, it's good validation to hear that you need it, because why create it if no one needs it? But you do. And so that's something that I really would like to do after this. And I even put at the end of this that, you know, in terms of Google Classroom specifically, there are no videos out there using a screen reader. What I do have is this, though. So the first link in the resource slides is Screen Reading Hub for Google Workplace G Suite. That's what's the first link's called. When you go to that page, it's... Someone has taken the time, and it's probably Roger and my friends at Google, have really taken the time to parse out everything. And when I say everything, this made me quite happy to know that there is a framework for this Google curriculum that you guys need. You need to see it, or you need to hear it. You need to see it being done for you to grasp it, I think, like, because reading step-by-step instructions, let me ask you guys this. How many keyboard commands have you had to memorize in general?
Countless. There aren't any for
too many to even know. Yeah.
There aren't many. Any for Google, yeah. Google Meet.
Yeah, there may not, and see, that would be one. Actually, let me see, because I didn't include Google Meet in here, but I'm going through this. It's Google Groups, Google Voice, Google Chat. Yes, ma'am, there is.
Oh, good.
There are keyboard shortcuts for Google Meet. Now, that's not highlighted in the list, but if you go to the first link that I put.
Right. I know that it came off of Google Chat. It used to be Google Chat or whatever it was.
They've actually got that separate because Google Chat doesn't have it, but Google Meets does. Here's a good command for any of you. Generally, and here's the thing I say generally, like a Microsoft product, right? If you're in Word or if you're in PowerPoint and you hit Control P, it's going to print. Like, we know this. If you hit Alt F, it's already going to go to file. In any Microsoft product, we've been ingrained to know this. In Google products, it's more like, will it work? No, it doesn't in this one. So a great command to learn is control and forward slash. Let me make sure I'm doing that or telling you the exact right command. But I do believe I am. Let me go to Docs.
That is right, I think.
And control and forward slash, is that correct? Yes. So if you're in a Google product, like Google Meets, for instance, you should be able to hit the command control and forward slash. And what that's going to do is bring up this other box, right, that has every keyboard shortcut that is possible within that Google product. So if I go to Gmail and I'm doing this as I say it with you guys, and I hit control forward slash, does it do anything? And it might be that I don't have screen reader mode turned on my particular Gmail, but it doesn't do anything. So I think that's, if I needed to enable screen reader mode, automatically it's Alt, Control, and Z.
Oh, wait a minute.
Sure.
And then you have to have the virtual cursor to the virtual cursor off with JAWS key Z.
It would be Alt Control Z, and I don't think you do for that particular command. But I don't.
Oh,
have,
yeah. I just meant
you can do it in JAWS with the insert Z, but I'm not positive.
So what's odd about that is Gmail does not pull up the keyboard commands list. So some of these won't, and that's kind of what I'm getting at here. Is like, Google's weird about this. If I'm in Classroom and do the same thing, it does not pull up keyboard commands because Classroom really doesn't have them. But if I'm in Slides, not google.com. And the way I talk about the virtual cursor, the best thing to do, I've got a 2-year-old, guys. If you hear him in the background squealing, he's fine. I assure you, he's just upset probably. But if I'm in Google Slides and I hit control forward slash or, you know, question mark, it's the same key, it's going to pull up the keyboard commands. And I'm going to put JAWS running just so I can answer that question at the same time.
And can I ask another question that's a little bit off topic, but it's something that's freaking me out?
Please do.
Have you heard that Google or Gmail is not going to work with Outlook at some point?
It does.
No, I have not heard that. I haven't read it through any pipelines because that would be a red flag. It really would. Outlook works more as like a base client. And unless they really get mad at each other, and I haven't, I mean, in terms of Microsoft and Google, I haven't seen anything in like tech pipelines on that. It'd be a huge move for the tech industry, right? Like, and no, so I haven't heard any rumors on that. And I watch next week; they're going to prove me wrong. But
because I've heard that through our AT person, because a lot of us who are blind or visually impaired we have the G Suite on the network now, and we can still use Outlook. But I've heard that it's going to go away. So I don't know.
I have not been privy to that or heard it. No, I haven't heard that. Does not mean it's not true, but right now I wouldn't worry so much.
Yeah.
and I'm just doing a quick Google search. No.
Do you know that lately this thing, and this is what drives me nuts about Google, how things are always changing, like lately, and I'm sure it's just some setting that inadvertently I changed without realizing it, obviously, but when I go into Google search now, it shows me all my old searches and you have to dismiss them.
Oh, I know. That's so annoying.
It's so annoying.
That could be. It's what's called autocomplete. Visually, that's helpful. Non-visually, it's horrible, right? Like, and now on Outlook, people get angry when that's not there. I say your Outlook gets updated or deleted or your computer's reformatted. Right. IT does that.
Yeah.
And I've gotten the frustration of, well, I can't hit J anymore and pull up Jason Martin. And I'm like, well, because you haven't emailed me on this current computer. And so, like, it's funny how sometimes it will annoy you and sometimes it, you know what I'm saying? Like, two different places.
Yeah, but this is a different thing. It's showing all my old Google searches. So it's not even when I start typing. It's before. It's as soon as I get into Google.
Yeah, if you tab out of that.
To show before I can.
Ever search for.
Yes, that's been common visually. It's probably something that's updated with screen reader support.
Yeah, it's just happened the last few days.
That's odd because that's generally how Google works. If I click on an address bar, I can tell you that navigating the web with JAWS, using virtual cursor, like that's a normal feature. It just probably is something that has recently enabled. And I wonder if screen reader support is still on or off in your Google search engine, because it may have turned itself back on, or it may have reverted. It may have turned itself off with an update.
Yeah, I keep it on when I'm doing Google searches. When I'm in Google Drive or any of that, I keep it off. But when I'm just doing Google search, I have it on.
Sure. Jason, what is the command to turn the screen reader support on or off? Because I don't even think I've never messed with that when I go into Google Chrome to do like searches or to go on the university's website, because I'm having to use Google Chrome now because Safari won't work as well with, you know, Canvas and AU Access. Sure.
So it's Alt-Control-Z.
Alt-Control-Z, okay.
Alt-Control-Z, and it's one of those things, right? Like your screen reader will say screen reader support is on. Generally, that's for the big products in Google. On Google search, I think there is, like, there's a tab that you tab and it says turn on screen reader mode, but it may work there as well. I don't have it currently. I don't have my screen reader currently on because between you guys searching.
I've seen it in Gmail. It's at the top of the page.
That's it. Like in Gmail, it's at the top. In probably Google, like the actual search engine Google, it's somewhere on that page. It's not visually there for any of us, but it would be there in the coding. On Slides, Docs, Sheets, and I'm missing one. Goodness, let me go.
Calendar?
Calendar would be a sense of like Gmail, but it'd be Slides, Sheets, Docs, and possibly Forms. That when you turn on screen reader support, that is supported with Alt Control and Z. I know at least Docs, Slides, and Sheets, it is. So your main big editing programs, you do turn that on. There's also, if you've got children or students using magnification, they need to turn that on under the accessibility menu. So it's good to turn on because it enables better features for magnification. I had kids using Zoom, like the Zoom magnification, they'd go to type and the Zoom would go up to the right-hand corner. You turn on magnification mode, it stops. I don't know why these modes aren't on by default. Would be nice, but hey. So like we were saying with turning off forms mode is pivotal. Okay. How many of you have used Drive? How many of you understand that concept of Drive? Because that's really where we needed to begin some of this.
Yeah, I think
I got that. It's just like any other directory structure.
Other file folder structure.
It is, but there are certain commands that you can use in Drive. And for those of you on the call that might not be as experienced with Drive, here's the best way to understand it. And this is the way I teach it to students. When you to do anything with G Suite, you've got to have a place to save this documentation. You like your computer, if you create a document, it's got to be saved somewhere. File Explorer is what we use on Windows. Drive is what Google uses. So that's what you have in the cloud. It's your hard drive. And like many of you said, it works like Windows File Explorer, like any directory program. Let me tell you, I've worked with an individual who shall remain nameless, but this floored me, and it would probably floor you, that after 10 years of being employed, they said, I don't know how to save. And I said, I don't know how to use the file drive system. And I'm like, everything's different in Windows 10. And I'm like, wait a minute. That's been the same since Windows 95. So if you're not familiar with that structure, you've got to have these building blocks. And I say that, with love, I really do. But with your students, that's where you start. If you're learning the computer, if they're learning the computer, if they don't get drive, they don't know where they save something. Computer ate my homework is the new dog ate my homework. Yeah. But it's got to be there. Anything. When I started learning G Suite, what freaked me out just a little bit is I had a Gmail account and I'd email myself stuff. And they're like, yeah, go to drive.google.com. So getting people to understand the way the web addresses for the G Suite environment, drive.google.com, sheets.google.com, docs.google.com.
Meet.google.com,
forms.google.com, Google Photos, photos.google.com. Getting that is an exercise in and of itself. It's very short, very sweet. Kids usually get it pretty quickly. So navigating through Drive. Drive has keyboard commands as well, right? Are we familiar with those?
No.
Okay. I'm not. Let's save you some tab time if that's how you're doing it, tabbing all through it. So in the document that I've given you, and again, there's headings for all of this, so you can navigate it using headings. Drive web page tutorials designed by Google. When you open up Google Drive, and that's one of the big ones that you have to turn the virtual cursor off when you're in it, which is insert Z if you're on a full keyboard with JAWS, or it's caps lock Z if you're on a laptop. And it'll say virtual cursor off. And then you can type in GF and that, or GN, and that takes you to go to navigation. You would think GF would be go to file. No, that's not the case. Or it's go to folder. That's what that means. It's the best way of thinking about it. All of these commands, again, are in this tutorial or in this resource list that I've given you. So under Drive, you would go screen readers that work with Google Drive, keyboard shortcuts for Google Drive on the web. So you can turn off a virtual cursor, because if you don't, you hit G, it's going to say what? No graphics enabled. No graphics enabled. And shut up, y'all. A picture's worth 1,000 words. To my friends that use a screen reader, it's only one blank, blank, blank. Anyway, so when you're in Google Drive, that's where, for those of you starting, like Mary, and I'm trying to get everybody's name right, I'm learning it as I go through, that's a good place to start really beginning everything. Going to docs.google.com, sheets.google.com, there's no reason for any of you to have to do that. Drive should be your go-to place. Get familiar with it. If you want to create a new slides document, do it through Drive. Get comfortable with that, because you can Shift-Tab back up to New, hit Spacebar, go down, you can create a new slide, you can create a new doc, you can create a new anything in G Suite, slides, docs, whatever. And you can also create folders. This is pivotal for doing a good classroom, right? Like if you have home economics, which shouldn't be using Google Classroom, but you know what I'm saying. If you've got that class in the morning, A, B, C, you'd want to name it accordingly, your assignments accordingly. Organization is key there, or else I think one question you had, Tabitha, was what's the fastest way of finding a file? Really, it's being proactive with organization with files, folders, and Google Drive. And sharing, the ability to share through Google Drive comes as well with some of these commands that are listed, and the ability to do that, if that makes sense. So again, Drive is where I would begin. and look at the keyboard commands before you go. And I just got to say this again. There are so many keyboard commands with Google that it's a bit ridiculous. And for Drive, it's the weirdest one. Drive and Gmail are the oddest ones where you have to know the keyboard commands built in. You have to turn off the forms mode. Docs, Sheets, and Slides work a little bit differently. Like you can hit Alt F and it goes to File. Alts, like one question, Tabitha, you had was, what's the fastest way a student can learn how to share a document? You open up a new Google Doc through Drive, because if you don't, if you go to docs.google.com, there's a banner in the middle of the page that I have yet to see a webinar or tutorial or anything that tells me how I can access that with a screen reader other than Chromebox. Chromebox does it just fine with no problem. JAWS, I've yet to find out a way to quickly go to that and hit new document. You guys might know that and I may not, but Drive is the way I would do that. And if you're doing it in Drive, you can also know where it's saved. You know where that file is. You know how to find it. Does that make sense with you guys? Like same way with a Windows computer, that you would have a file folder that you know where you're saving it, that you can go back and relocate it? Or is that even an issue?
No, I've started putting all my coursework on Drive because
although it got lost.
Yes.
I use a lot of us at school use FileStream, it works so much like Windows Explorer. I really love it.
What was
but
that?
I don't think
you kind of blurred out with me.
Oh, sorry. At school we use FileStream, but okay. I think you have to network in order for that to work.
Yes. So there is an offline.
I find editing in Google Docs very frustrating compared to Word.
What frustrates you?
So do you have edit? What?
What's frustrating?
Oh, when I'm editing in a Google Doc, I just find Word is so much easier. Like I can't use the command to select a block of text. You know, the top of block, bottom of block. I did that once and I wanted to copy it and it deleted it. So, and I did not do Control X. So I don't know. I just find that editing in Word is much easier.
So I agree. I mean, I do. If I had it, I would use Word. The allure, right, of Google is that all these products are free. Microsoft has yet to do that with Office and make basically all of their Office products downloadable and free. When they do, I hope we have more. Like you could tell a student, hey, go to Word and do this. But the ironic part is that Office costs money. And where Google has really gotten public education is that it's free. And so you're right, though. It is easier. I mean, like the document that I sent you, the document that I send out in accessible formats, they're in Word for that very reason. On my home computer, however, I'm El Cheapo, and I don't pay for Office. I go for Word. I mean, I go for Google Docs. Most of your command, and some of that is just familiarizing yourself with the commands. Like, and I say that generally... I'm trying to think of the major commands that are different. Control Z for undo, Control Y for redo. They're still the same. Control A should select all. Control Shift and up arrow should still do that as long as that virtual cursor is off. And as I say this to you, it probably would help me to type it. Anyway, a lot of this stuff is through the keyboard commands, like keyboard shortcuts for Google Docs. Let me just pop that open. And that is in the resource list as well. Along with these printed resources for Google, towards the bottom of this document, because I knew a lot of what we would be saying, you know, for some of you, you're going to get it. You're going to go, oh, I do that. I know what you're talking about. And for others, you're probably going to listen to me and do what some of my colleagues do. I start talking about this and they go, I didn't understand any word past Google. And so some of it, it takes a little more processing, a little more hands-on. And some of these videos that I have, like using Drive, there's one from this guy in Australia. He's great. He's a random person online. There's another one from Roger at Google. Roger's pretty good, but he's using NVDA. And so for our purposes, using JAWS, some of you might be able to adapt to that. Others may not. So I've provided two links, say, with using Drive. But there's an overview of using Google Docs with JAWS from APH. There's an orientation and basic navigation in Google Docs with JAWS, I believe, from Vespero. And there's also write and edit Google Docs with JAWS from Vespero as well. So it might help to see how somebody else with JAWS is doing it.
Yeah.
And again, like some of this stuff, some of these frustrations, I hope after watching the tutorial, you're like, okay, you know, like that's a bit more doable. But I'm just looking up some of the, and Tabitha, just as well for you, they do include in these keyboard commands lists, Mac shortcuts as well. I know it's not like ideal, but they're there if that helps. So a lot of these things, speak cursor location, you might be used to hitting one command, but in Google, it's Control and Alt. Like Control Alt R will tell you where your cursor is. I'm looking at like navigational shortcuts. Like move to next heading, Control Alt and H. Where you're used to hitting just H, it's more Control and Alt. Where am I looking? Because I'm looking just for basic, like basic Control B, and I do believe that's Control Alt and B. Now your Alt F. Let me pop open Docs as we get here. And I could see where, again, going through this, it's so beefy. Just you go through Docs. It's basically learning Word, Excel, and PowerPoint before you get to the point of being able to adequately know how to do it for a classroom, right? Like, that's its whole other beast. So, like bold, if I type the word bold, I hit shift and then back arrow, or shift control back arrow to select it.
Alexa, stop.
Control B actually does bold it. Control U underlines it. So that is the same as Word. Control I italicizes. Control E does not center it, right? So that's what I would be used to in Word. But Control Alt E doesn't do it. Control Shift E. Control Shift E is what centers it.
Okay.
So it's some crazy things like that, but it's really the inclusion of one modifier key. So if you hit Control E, and if I was thinking right, that goes up to browser's address bar. If you hit Control and Shift E, it'll center it. Control Shift and R right aligns. Control Shift L left aligns. So your Word commands, really, they did try to mimic it a lot. Alt F. If I hit Alt F and I'm in it, I can down arrow and then go through the menus like I usually would. There is first key navigation. So like if I wanted a new document, Alt F N, new document, Alt F O, open document. So, and let me turn on JAWS real quick just to see if I'm telling you the truth or if I'm lying to you all. Because I love if I'm working with students, right, that are using screen readers, I love to give them exploratory exercises where it's like, I'm trying to think. Code Commando was one, but it's a scavenger hunt, but it's built in an application. So I like to go, well, what is the command for open? How would I open a document?
Right.
And they may come across Control O because they might have learned that. But how would I do it using the Alt menu? Alt F. Yes, you were saying something. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I wasn't. I was agreeing with you. I do that a lot with students because they're not going to always be with the teacher.
So, Jason, I just have a quick question. So,
sure, Tabitha.
So you go to Google Drive,
right?
And then in Google Drive, I take it, it's got because I've sort of avoided it because sometimes things have just sort of been confusing, but I've dealt with forms that are shared and different docs and things like that. So you go in there and then you see a list of sheets, docs, mail, all that is in Google Drive.
So can let me see if you guys can actually hear this. Continue on, Tabitha, but I want to see if you can hear my JAWS while we're on Zoom, because I've got you guys through my headset, but I think JAWS is coming out of my PC. So you
I can hear it.
Okay. Let me pump up the volume. I can give you just a quick look at what I'm talking about with this, and that might be more useful. But if I just
new and black right pointing pointer submenu.
So it does the new N, so Alt F N. It's telling me that it should say open O.
Open O control plus O.
Yeah, and it does actually give me that command for that. So that's an exploratory way to get familiar with the application, other than memorizing everything under the sun. But let's open Drive, right? If you can hear it. I'm going to do control E.
Control or wait, E. Escape. Leaving menu. Control E. Address and search bar. Edit. Type and text.
We're going to go to Drive.
V E. Period. G O O N E. Here. C O M. Enter.
Is that coming through?
Yeah.
Okay.
/1F30BBFG.
I might want to open up Chrome and be in that instead.
About 3,100,000. Address D R I V E. Here. G O O G N E. Here. C O M. Enter. Drive.google.com.
Okay.
Loading. Main region, quick access, last modified, reverse sort direction. Not selected, classroom 1, Google Drive folder 0.
Now, I'm one of those, the more comfortable people are with a screen reader, they shut him up sometimes too soon. They don't let him finish and they miss out on some information. So I'll do my best to try not to talk over him or shut him up. I know you guys probably know the same way I do. It's habit to go, stop. Hush, I don't need to hear what you're saying right now. That control key is your friend sometimes. So when you load up Google Drive, the first time you're going to log in with your Gmail password, you have to have one. But you get there, and it starts on, if you're thinking of Windows, it's going to go, and how long do you want to go tonight, Tabitha? Maybe 8:15, 8:30 tops?
That's fine if you can do that. We had said 7 to 8, but we can go longer because it's on record.
I'm unfortunately going to have to go.
So it'll be recorded. You can pick, you know, you'll be able to.
Go pretty soon, too.
Yeah. So we'll just.
I haven't even had supper.
Well, that's okay. Well, you can always mute yourself, Carla, and just grab your supper and listen.
Well, I just noticed that I got up to an hour, and I feel like there's a lot of interest from you guys. Let me ask you this, or maybe before we go, resources are there. What would be the best means of giving you instruction? Audio only, audio and video, or alternative? What would work the best? Because I know we can't be here forever tonight. What would be better for you? Like, what would help you the most?
Probably audio, I would think, for the majority of our people.
Sure.
I don't know that video would be beneficial to too many. I
there might be a few, but I would say mostly audio.
Okay. Well, that's easier for me to edit and record. I mean, I'm just being honest with you. It's a lot less
hassle. It probably is, yeah.
So if you want to sell it later on, you might better do video.
But even just for doing this and it's not really for a giant group. It's for y'all.
Yeah.
For you that need help. Audio would work better. It's easier to email, I think. And if that's what you guys think. So some of this stuff, and again, like I could have had COVID last week, so I've been somewhat under the weather. But what I'd like to do for you, and if Tabitha is your contact, spend some time looking at the resources I've given you. What I'd like to do is go through Drive, and just with our minutes here today, just give me some marching orders. What I'd like to do is go through Drive and give you an idea of how you would create a folder, you would find information, and navigate through that. Then creating docs, sharing docs. Editing is really on you guys. I mean, there are some videos, but that's just on a need-by-need basis. Do I need to center something? Do I need to bold something? You know, it literally is the same as Word in terms of editing exercises. Slides, we can save that to last because you can create PowerPoint slides or Google Slides without having Vision. I've seen it done in Google Slides. I've seen it. I've done it. It is, in fact, possible. But really Docs slot or Docs Drive and probably Classroom, right? Navigation.
That would be good. And then if you could answer that question about Gmail, like, because you said something about you have to turn forms field off.
In certain applications, in Drive you do. In Drive you do. But if you want to know navigating through Gmail as well, because some of you are using that as a web client, we can look at that as well.
This is Donna. I use Gmail on the web all the time with very little problem. I set it to basic HTML view.
That is also another view that is very accessible.
That is much, much, much more accessible. And really, like I said, I have very little trouble.
Yes. Donna, how do you set it? I think that might be, you know, so where do you set that? Is that in the Google? Is that at the top of it itself in Gmail?
That is...
I've never heard about changing the view like that.
I always have to play with it because it...
Use Gmail with a screen reader
left.
There it is.
Basic HTML. And so this is actually on your, this is on your homework. It's on your research.
Oh, okay.
On your homework.
Okay.
It is there. I'm looking for a quick command to do it, though.
No, I don't know a quick command to do it. I have to.
You just have to go click on that button or hit it or whatever, hit enter on it, and it changes.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Then there's some way, there's somewhere that sometimes it comes up and says, do you want this to be your default view or something like that?
Once you get that, it won't come up again if you make it your default.
And it'll stay in the basic HTML.
You are using Gmail with screen readers collapsed link.
Yep, using Gmail with screen readers collapsed link.
That doesn't seem
enter
to be
keyboard much. Shortcuts link.
No, it doesn't.
No.
Gmail left parent stamp.
Hang on. I'll figure that out and let you guys know.
And I'll look for it too, and I can put it on the announcement list. It's one of those things, now that I've done it, I'd have to figure out how to... Well, actually, it's easy to undo because there's a link for standard view. That always appears. But I'll try to find it, Tabitha, and send it out on the list.
It's in there. And that could be what I was thinking about turning on screen reading mode. I think it is the basic HTML view that does enable like your quick keys and your navigation keys because those are in.
Yeah, because like I just do Alt C to create a new message. And if it's somebody in my contacts, I type, you know, the first little bit and it fills it in. And, you know, I mean, it's pretty.
Am I unmuted?
Now you are.
Now I am.
Okay. Cause I was having trouble with my computer for a second. It was giving me these weird, it was popping up dialogues. But I think that, I wonder if that's some of the problem is that there are all these things that you can set in advance. And if you don't know to set them, then you get into more trouble.
Well, how I figured out that basic HTML, nobody told me that. I was, when I first set up a Gmail account, and I was a little frustrated because it you get lost in the standard view. And so I saw that basic HTML view and I thought, I wonder what that is. So I clicked on it. I was like, hey, that's what I
want. Now, when you're in that, Donna, do you still use, do you turn off the virtual cursor and all that?
You don't have to.
Okay. No, I just do like to go down through my messages. I do the letter X because they're like check boxes.
Mm-hmm. And you can do heading level 3, I think.
And you can do headings. Yeah. And then if it's a message, I because it'll tell you who it's from.
That's it. It's a button. You might be able to hit B.
Main menu button collapsed. Advanced search mail button.
Hang on. I hit control home and down arrow.
Inbox left pair basic HTML view button.
Control home and down arrow. Like put yourself very top, down arrow, basic HTML button. You hit that.
Basic HTML.
Yeah, and then it changes it to a very, very beautiful.
It is. It's
okay.
Pretty slick, actually, I think.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Oh, good. Well, that because I always have my Gmail come in through my, you know, my either mail or Outlook, you know, but some people can't do it that way. And so that was, I know, one question.
Well, one reason I haven't done mine that way is because I want to be able to check it on the web, which you still can. I know you can. But I just don't have it come into Outlook. I just do it all on the web, and it works.
Which is smart. So maybe Gmail, just some stuff in Gmail for you guys. Drive, Docs, and really Classroom. And maybe we can talk again at some point down the road just to get some feedback from you and ask how these resources have helped, which I hope they do. Because I know it is very much a struggle. And I know it's getting late, so I guess without further ado, if you have any other questions, Tabitha, you can feel free to give them my email.
I can. Okay. I didn't send your, when I forwarded them, I saved the documents because I didn't know if you wanted me to share that or not. So
sure,
okay.
Sure. You can share my email. Anything, full disclosure here, any time, like even the time we've committed tonight, I'm going for a CADIS certification. So you guys are definitely helping me with internship hours. I've been doing assistive technology for 10 years and I'm like, might as well get it. It looks nice. So, I'm going through the internship right now. So anyway, that's just full disclosure there.
Because it sounds like, I mean, you know, thanks for providing us the links to all the resources and the list, because it sounds like there's way too much. It sounds like each app is its own animal almost.
And that was a bit of my fear too, Tabitha, when you're like, Classroom. I'm like, okay. But before Classroom, we've got to Scaffold, you know, like there's a lot here. And so I didn't really know where tonight was going to go, but I think hearing from you and hearing what you need and what we can maybe do to help might improve. And I think with those resources, spend some time. It's like the book of Google. I mean, really, there's so much to learn. I mean, like it's just a ton of information built in there. I mean, like almost way too much, I would argue. And so some of your administrators, I'm certain, would not even begin to fathom how much effort there is in someone using a screen reader to move to a platform like this, and you know, without a bit of guidance.
So you're open to anyone sending you an email asking questions?
Yeah, shoot me an email. Also, because I'm a bum and I like to share the load. Google accessibility, and I do have. I've yet to use these contacts, and I'll just be dead honest with you. Some of my contacts at Google, I think they've spoken at ACB before, and they've spoken at NFB, I'm certain, on terms of accessibility. But I do have contacts at Google. If we have some things that, per se, I cannot answer, we can use them. And there's a Google accessibility support. Have any of you ever used that?
No.
On Be My Eyes.
I have not on Google.
You can harass them too. I know y'all won't harass.
Is it a call-in number, Jason, or is it?
Let me see.
No, it's probably an email. They don't like to give you phone numbers. No,
I use mine and Be My Eyes app.
There is a phone. There's chat, phone, email. Be My Eyes, yes. You can chat, do with them through Be My Eyes. If you're an ASL user, they even have that for you.
Oh, that's okay. So Google, so kind of like the same way Windows or Apple have their support.
I think because like Apple or somebody started with an accessibility phone number, I think these other platforms and other companies and stuff felt like they needed to keep up with that. And so I think most, you know, Microsoft has the disability number, yes. And, you know, and so I think Google finally woke up and said, oh, we need to have it too. And, you know, so most of them have phone numbers now because they finally realized they probably need to.
But if you do have any questions, if you go, hey, I've gotten to this point, I've looked through the materials, I don't know what to do, feel free to shoot me an email. It may take me a little bit to get back to you, but I will. Well, and it's very hard to find somebody who, what I found and just with teachers in particular, and I say TVIs, that's what I am. I'm used to doing an in-service with them annually here. It's probably going to move virtually, so that might be of interest to some of you guys later on down the line. But I mean, I've had teachers come literally hat in hand and they're frustrated because you don't know who to turn to or who to ask these questions because the majority of people aren't even remotely aware of it, or they don't care, you know, it's one of the two.
Yeah.
So the big thing then to remember is the resource list, but also then you said control slash?
Yep.
That gives you your kind of a context menu of keyboard commands in the app you're in most apps.
And that is pretty amazing built into the Google products. It is like, and on a Chromebook, you learn some of these commands for the Chrome apps. You'll be a bigger boss at a Chromebook if you ever happen to touch one.
Mm. Yeah, I didn't. I haven't known about Windows. That. What's that, Jan?
I'm looking at the Google Drive and the Control Flash does not bring up keyboard commands in Drive.
So on some apps, it will not do it, but like your big apps, like Docs, Sheets, and Slides.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it does it on Forms. I think. I'll have to check. I really like Google Forms. I've gotten pretty skilled at that. That's what I did for our AABT membership form. I just sat down one day and created a Google form.
Yes, it does work in Google Forms.
Yeah, I thought it did.
But not in Drive, though.
Not in Drive.
So how would you get the commands in Drive?
Not to crack a joke, but I gave them to you.
They're in your
resource list.
Oh, great. Okay. But I mean, if you didn't have that handy, is there a spot in the app?
No.
No. Thanks for sending the list. I hadn't gotten to read it yet.
No, you're good. And that's one thing they've really got to work on. If that would be my criticism to Google, would be you've got to be more inhibit more universal design into all of these programs where I can hit Control/ in everyone, in Classroom included, and be able to get a list of keyboard commands. Mm. Like it's got to work the same way across the board, or else you're just going to create a larger workload for people.
Yeah. Okay. Well, does anyone have, before we, I guess, close for the evening, does anybody have any last minute, urgent, quick questions for Jason?
Just one.
Thank you.
I wanted to thank him too, but I have one question.
You're welcome.
Do you happen to have the accessibility number handy at all?
I do. Let me grab it. That accessibility link that is in your resources, if you follow that and ask them, or if you'd like to speak to someone at Google, what they do instead of them giving you their number, they ask for yours. So they're savvy, I guess, there. But you click on the link, I'd like to speak to a person. You can tab through, and if you're signed into Google, it keeps your email, says your first name, and you can tap through the form fields and basically submit your number and they'll call you. So there is no direct number, I guess, to call them, but you can do it that way.
Well, yeah. Thank you so much.
Really, thank you so much for giving
together the resources and being willing to help us further. Yeah,
those are endless. You know, that's wow.